This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury, and this is Tech Talk. Now, just for a moment, think about how many passwords that you have and where you use them. I'm guessing on every single email address that you have, your streaming services, to log into your PC, websites, social media, everything. Now, imagine a future without any of those. Think about that just for a second. Now, passwords were once one of our most trusted security measures. 90% of data breaches today, though, are the result of poor or reused passwords. Even one-time passwords, OTPs, have been vulnerable, with bad actors hijacking these codes to make 500,000 in fake credit card payments. Now, on the phone with me, I have Andrew Shikia. He's the executive director at FIDO Alliance. They're a non-profit founded by organizations like PayPal, Lenovo, Infineon, Knock Knock Labs, with the mission to provide open and free authentication standards to help reduce the world's reliance on passwords. Andrew, thanks for taking the time to join me today.
Rich, thanks for having me. It's very nice to be here.
Absolute pleasure. Now, I'll start off with a big and broad question. Are passwords really that bad?
Yes. I'll give you a succinct answer. Yes, they are. They're a problem in so many ways. You know, to summarize, though, you know, simply put, they're just not fit for purpose for, you know, today's network society. I think any of your listeners and you and I as users can relate to the challenge of, you know, having to remember a complex password, and then doubling that or making that even more complex by having to, you know, have a unique password for multiple sites, and each site and, you know, the average user has over 150 online accounts. Yeah. They should have unique passwords for each one. Yeah. But the human brain simply can't manage that. And
that's right.
So, you know, the trend or the natural thing for one to do is just to reuse a password. So most people reuse, you know, maybe a half dozen passwords across sites. And that's where you start running into problems because, you know, passwords can and will be acquired by hackers. And once they have that username password credential, they'll try stuffing that on any site that could be of value across the web. And they have a, you know, shockingly high success rate with that. So yeah, fundamentally, passwords really are a huge problem, both from a usability standpoint, but most critically from a security standpoint.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about, you know, the vulnerabilities of popular authentication methods today. I mean, we're talking about how easy it is now for people to, because people are recycling passwords and hackers, how easy is it for that hacker, once they have, you know, a rough idea of your password, to, you know, to find your online presence and use that against you? How easy is it for them?
Well, if they have your credentials, you know, they could programmatically just set up a bot to try stuffing those credentials across the web. So it's really not terribly difficult. Now, the fact of the matter is, on the dark web, username password credentials can be purchased, you know, quite easily, quite cheaply, a couple of dollars to purchase a credential. And if you stuff those across the web and you have around a 2% success rate in logging into accounts, there's, you know, meaningful money to be made by the hackers. So it certainly is, you know, it's not terribly difficult for a hacker to, once they have your credentials, to, you know, do damage with those. I think the bigger problem, though, and the fundamental flaw with passwords is that they're human readable, shared secret that sits on a server, right? And so anything on a server can and eventually will be hacked. We've seen it time and time again with systems and services. And so once people have acquired the information on that server, including username, you know, credentials, it's very easy then to be able to reuse those and manipulate them. And so what we need to do is fundamentally shift away from a model that's dependent on this shared secret approach to one that is more decentralized in nature and allows users to, you know, authenticate on the devices that they, you know, literally have in their fingertips every day. So authenticating locally, say to your handphone, smartphone, tablet, whatever it might be, and letting that device kind of mediate your authentication process with the server.
Now, it wasn't too long ago that Microsoft announced, you know, the idea of going for a passwordless future. And they're not the first company to do it, I know. But Microsoft internally, they were suggesting that around 90% of their staff up at this point were going passwordless. They've now kind of rolled it out to the general public and are trying to encourage more people to do that. You know, what other authentication methods are there out there other than just using your cell phone? Are there like other physical ways of doing things? And why do you think it's only now that Microsoft have made this push towards getting people to go passwordless?
Yeah, so there's a couple steps we need to take as an industry to get to this kind of post-password world. And there's non-trivial challenges. You know, the reason why it's taken so long is because this is very difficult. You mentioned Microsoft, and it was Bill Gates in 2004 at the RSA conference where he pronounced, you know, the demise of the password. The passwords are no longer acceptable, suitable, and that they need to go away. And so here we are 17 years later, 17 and a half years later. You know, Microsoft just last week or 2 weeks ago announced that, you know, any Microsoft account holder can log in without a password.
Right.
But it's difficult to get there for a couple of reasons. One, your passwords are just part of the DNA of the web itself.
Right.
Right. Everyone, you know, from a child age on up, they become accustomed to logging in with passwords. You look for the username password dialog box. You know, I have two young daughters in school, and they do a lot of apps, and they have unique passwords. And so you're taught at a young age to look for passwords and to use passwords. So there's kind of a behavioral, you know, embedded kind of learned behavior that we need to overcome. And the technology has also been a challenge too, right? So what my organization, you know, FIDO Alliance does, we create these open standards that leverage something called asymmetric public key cryptography, which is certainly a mouthful or an earful for people to understand, but the actual process itself is pretty simple. So instead of having, you know, a password on a server that the user needs to log into, each service that the user has when they're using a FIDO, they have a unique key pair, or I think of it as a, you know, a perfectly, you know, matched lock and key.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's a public key that sits on the server, and then the private key, you know, is what is a value that stays safely on the user's device. And then when it comes time to log in or authenticate, you know, those keys need to talk to each other, and the match needs to be just so for the authentication to be consummated. The fundamental difference here in this approach is that, as opposed to having a password on a server, which, as we know, is of great value to hackers, the public key has no value, right? I can give you my public keys for all my accounts I've registered with, and you can't do anything with them. So that in and of itself dramatically changes the playing field against the ongoing, you know, attacks that we see. And the technology, that the idea of public key cryptography in and of itself isn't necessarily new. In fact,
just got me thinking of PGP back in the day.
Yes. PGP, it's very, you know, very closely related. In fact, one of our founding companies, Knock Knock Labs, that whole team comes from PGP.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, similar dynamics. So the public key cryptography isn't necessarily new, or smart cards. So the technology has always been there, but the challenge has been usability and scalability. All right. So you need to have a smart card reader, or you need to get a certificate from your bank. And there's an added step and an added barrier. And ultimately, you know, for this new mechanism of authentication to scale, you know, a couple of things have to happen. One, it just needs to be supported on every device. And secondly, perhaps actually more important than that, it needs to be easy. It needs to be brain dead easy, because we've seen that as MFA techniques get more difficult, the opt-in rates decline. And so what we've done as an organization, I know this is a very long-winded answer to your question, but what we've done as an organization lately is actually we've seen this technology, this FIDO technology, be embraced by everyone writ large in the industry. It's supporting this now, right? So Apple, Microsoft, Google, Samsung, Intel, Qualcomm, you know, from the chipset on up, are building this technology into their platforms, into their products. So virtually every device that's being unboxed right now can support FIDO authentication. So now all of a sudden, so, you know, going back to the question, why is it taking so long? Well, a couple of things. One, we have to help people unlearn their behaviors, but two, we had to put the pieces in place to allow for this technology to be deployed at scale. And that time is now, because you know, over billions of devices support this. And so now you see companies like Microsoft saying, hey, look, your Microsoft account, you don't need to use a password anymore because you can leverage the functionality on that device, for example. Or eBay, the online retailer, if you go to eBay.com in just about any country, they give you the option of not using your password. You can log in with the device biometric. And so it's a relatively new phenomena that this capability is there. Now, our next challenge, together is to overcome some of the behavioral and education gaps to really start getting consumers to understand that, yes, this is a acceptable and optimal way for you to access sensitive services.
Hold on to that thought, Andrew. That's something I want to talk to you about after the break.
Okay.
You're tuned in to Tech Talk here on BFM. I'm speaking with Andrew Shigia. He's the executive director over at the FIDO Alliance. They're a non-for-profit founded by organizations like PayPal, Lenovo, Infineon, Knock Knock Labs, with the mission to provide open and free authentication standards to help reduce the world's reliance on passwords. This is BFM 89.9.
Behold freedom, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Tech Talk. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm on the phone with Andrew Shikia. He's the executive director over at FIDO Alliance. We're talking about a potentially password-free world. Andrew, just before the break, we were talking about how long or why it's taken so long to get to this place where we are now. 2004, you were talking about how Bill Gates had said passwords need to go. Obviously, it's 2021 now. I can't believe it's 2021 already. The last 2 years have kind of flown by. We've spoken about a little bit about things like identity theft and cyber crimes. But what I want to speak about is just briefly. Obviously, there's a generation of people who have grown up using passwords and have. It's like you said earlier, it's almost part of their DNA. I'm talking about people who might be a little bit older than you or I. And these are, people that have already got difficulty with tech in one way or another. It's taken them years to get used to putting a username and a password in. And now we're trying to convince these people that, hey, perhaps that isn't the best way of doing things. And now we found another way. And this generation has to relearn something else. How difficult for them do you think it's going to be to convince them, look, this is much easier. You don't have to remember anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. And I think, it's interesting. We've done a lot of usability research of late inside of FIDO Alliance, and a lot of our members have as well. And one of our members, a company called Hyper, they actually did a study that showed that seniors are that demographic is actually pretty keen to move beyond passwords. Right. But there is a kind of older, a cohort below seniors, that certainly wants to hang on to their password habits.
Yeah.
And it's a challenge, right? This is what we're talking about before. It's a paradigm shift of sorts for users to understand that, basically what I do to unlock my device is now what I do to log into my most sensitive accounts.
Right.
And there's a little discomfort with that. Like, wait, I just touched my device. I'm in my bank account. Like, is that really safe? And the fact of the matter is it is. And I think
that's a mind shift that I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Precisely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And like, well, I have a, everyone, we've done a lot of interviews with people about passwords, and people have their own techniques for passwords. And look, a lot of people use password managers, and these are all good things, right? Mm. So using complex, as long as you're dependent on passwords, these are the best practices to use. But the fact of the matter is, the fundamental flaw of passwords is that they sit on a server and they're human readable, right? And that's a pretty nuanced concept, but your most complex password can be hacked. You can be phished, right? Here's another daunting statistic. A well-designed phishing attack, right? So say for a high net worth individual or a spear phishing attack, Actually, not even spear phishing, a well-designed phishing attack, even scalable phishing attacks. So not your Nigerian prince email, like you know, something that looks really good, has over a 50% success rate. So not a click rate, success rate of seeing someone be phished. And the reason why is because these hackers are good, right? They're professionals. If I was playing goalie against a amazing football player, I wouldn't be able to stop. I wouldn't be able to stop their shots on goal. I could stop my daughter, but not a great football player. And so, similar to that, we need to realize our own limitations and put tools in the hands of users to help protect them, from hackers and also from themselves. And ultimately what hackers do, when they're phishing or doing social engineering, they're taking advantage of our own good human nature. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem of using secrets to log into things, right? So again, we need to shift from knowledge-based authentication, so what you know, to possession-based authentication. So what are you holding on to, or who are you? What is it about you? And those are factors that can't be spoofed remotely, right? So one of the ways you can use, so you asked before about different ways to log in. So there's device biometrics. There's also dedicated hardware devices called security keys from companies such as Yubico and Faitian and Google. Those are quite simple devices where you literally just touch it to show that, you're in possession of the device. And when that takes away, the attack vector that takes away are all the remote attacks, right? All the remote hacks. And these are where, these are the scalable hacks that, harvest tens of millions of accounts in one fell swoop. And if you need to be there, if you're proving possession of your device, that's just not possible. And a very, good analogy for this and a good model that everyone can relate to is a ATM card, a bank card. Yeah. When you go to the bank machine, you type in your card. So you have a PIN. And here's another paradigm shift people need to understand. Your 4-digit PIN is actually more secure than your most advanced password. Because a 4-digit PIN is something, it's something but something only you can enter when you're in possession of that device.
Right.
So even a PIN entered into your, say, Windows Hello instead of a biometric is more secure than a password going out over the wire, over the network.
Mm. Talk to me about, 5-10 years time. How different do you see things then? And what can we potentially be looking forward to?
Yeah, I think this password of the future is really happening sooner than, one may believe. So Microsoft, Google, Apple are all very much aligned on building this technology into their platforms. Not just the idea of asymmetric public key cryptography, but also making it more usable, making it easier to recover these keys, across their clouds and across their networks. So I think, Apple's a very interesting company. As you look at what they've done in the past, decade, since the introduction of Touch ID, now Face ID, they've really consumerized advanced technology, advanced security technology. And they recently announced something called passkeys. They announced it at their developer conference. It will be something rolled into the Apple operating systems. But just like they have iCloud Keychain now, where you can, to their credit, it's a very effective password manager where they hash complex passwords to websites. Soon they'll be allowing you to use this passkey concept to institute FIDO key pairs on websites.
Right.
So that's something that will literally just come, that people don't know what's going on, but they'll know they have a passkey. And they'll know that, okay, here's my website. I'm going to now use a passkey instead of a password. And just like that, that individual no longer has a password or doesn't have a password with this new site. And I think that it's going to be steps like that. And you'll see the same thing with Google, same thing with Microsoft and Samsung and others eventually. It'll be steps like that that will, people will feel like it's a similar experience to using, say, Face ID now or Android fingerprint, whatever it might be. But what's happening on the back end is way more powerful. Because right now, when you're using your device biometric, it's really just it's a password manager, effectively. Right? It's a very important step. It's a behavioral step to teach you that you don't need to enter your password, but there still is a password on the server. But once we actually have that same user action of using the biometric, but instead of a password on the server, all there is a public key, then wow, you know, we're actually heading towards this passwordless future, you know, today. So you talk 5-10 years down the road, and I think, you know, the vast majority, if not every consumer service, will offer passwordless login options. And we believe, you know, the vast majority of those will be using kind of our standards-based approach that's being embraced and endorsed by, you know, so many big technology organizations, service providers, and governments.
Andrew, thank you very much for your time today.
Rich, thank you so much. I could have talked probably for another 45 minutes.
I've been on the phone with Andrew Sikia. He's the executive director over at the FIDO Alliance. They're a not-for-profit founded by organizations like PayPal, Lenovo, Infineon, Knock Knock Labs. They're all about helping us reduce the world's reliance on passwords. This has been Tech Talk here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.